Welcome back, fellas, to a new year, new edition.
It's been a minute.
For Pete's sake. As always, I'm Pete, joined alongside Gibbs.
What's up?
Trev over here.
How's it going? In a slightly different setup for the first episode of season three here, boys.
Yeah, but in the basement three. This time. Oh, yeah.
I like it down here. Yeah, I like the table.
Got some work going on in the studio.
So. A little bit of sports decor.
And some old Detroit highlights back there.
You know, back when we were good at sports.
We will get into that, Trev. How's your time off, guys? It's been a little while.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the vacay. It was nice. How about you?
Yeah, good to relax for a little bit there, off the job. A little paid time off.
Yeah, the PTO.
How about you, Trev?
You know, still a little tax evasion here and there, but, you know, we're getting by.
Well, anyways, we're going to jump right into the content today because we got to make up for the past couple months here. A few of our topics we're going to cover include our favorite yet terrible Detroit sports teams. And that's going to include some mock draft coverage there, as well as a fun game involving players the Pistons could have had. So
I feel just like the more we talk about Detroit sports, just the more I get depressed.
Hey, Detroit City won their first game in their new league.
Detroit FC?
Yeah, they beat some team from Los Angeles.
Aren't they defending a championship?
No, they moved up to a national league this year, so they're in a different league.
Moving up.
Yeah.
New division. We're also going to talk about the Houston Astros scandal. It's a good one. And then I think that's any other topics that come up here. A little college basketball, possibly. So here we go from there.
But you know what's first?
What's first, Gibbs?
Sneaky Pete.
Oh, I got a new pair of sneaks for you guys today.
You know, I think they had to cancel the Amazon show because this segment really just, you know, it's taken the name by storm here.
It's taken the owner of America there. So we got the Strange Love Nike SBs right here. Okay, just want to take one.
Are these a Valentine's Day special?
These were a Valentine's Day edition. So, hold this up here. It's got some pink and red in here. Got a little bit of suede. Got some red laces. There's a little logo on the side. These are one of the coolest shoes I think that's come out some time now.
No, I really like the color scheme. Like, I've never really seen anything like this. Like, you got the little, like, I want to say, like, velvety kind of suede. No, like, all the different shades of pink.
They look cooler in person, I think, than what they did online, so...
I gotta say,
that's a nice buy.
I gotta say, I can feel the love just looking at these things. Yeah. I mean, you know, even for all the single people out there, you're not going to be alone on Valentine's Day with these things on your feet.
Man, so. Trev, you should have been selling these.
Yeah, I mean, Nike 2021 Valentine's Day, get me on board.
Well, thanks, guys. Those are the new kicks I bought.
It's a nice little preview. I like it.
So, thank you for that. Moving on to the NFL, boys. The mock draft season is upon us. We predict
the best time of the year for Lions fans.
Oh, it is. This is our real season.
Yeah.
So obviously the Lions draft number 3 in this upcoming draft. I know Trev is super excited for that. So the mock drafts we've seen, they've had us taken anywhere for a cornerback. Looks like we've been a very popular trade down.
There's been a lot of options, a lot of speculation over like what we're gonna do, possibly like trade down or even potentially take a quarterback.
I am all on board for the Tua train here.
You're a Tua guy?
I am. I don't think we're going to win with Stafford. I think people keep saying he's still young. He's like 32, 33 years old. He's probably at the end of his prime, would you say, about? So I don't think...
Yeah, no, just like between the injuries last year or two, years before, it seems like he's been injured a lot recently. And there's been a lot of speculation recently about, is he going to get traded? His wife, Kelly, is always talking... not like smack, but she's throwing it out there that, you know, he might get traded in some of her stories on Instagram.
So the Chargers were interested in him. I know it was one of the teams they brought up there.
Let me ask you guys a question real quick, because there's another pretty high-profile quarterback that a lot of people are expecting to move this offseason. If you're a team
First of all, the answer is no, he's not going to Detroit.
But theoretically, if you're any NFL team, would you rather have Matthew Stafford or Tom Brady at this point?
Tom Brady.
I mean... I don't personally. I think for what you get out of both those quarterbacks and what they're gonna, you know, what their value is on the market. You see so many teams nowadays. Like Mahomes is playing on a rookie contract. Lamar Jackson is playing on a rookie contract. Where you have these guys who are young, it gives you so much more money to spend elsewhere. You know why they're locked up on their rookie deal, but. I mean, I guess to answer your question, I'd probably rather had Stafford because, I mean, he...
Your Hall of Famer.
He's a few... Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're both Hall of Famers, but Brady's 43, 44.
Well, I think, Trev, it depends on the team. So if you're like Oakland, who's now the Las Vegas Raiders, or like the LA Chargers, you're looking just to get people to go to those games. You're looking for the big draw. So you're saying you can add Tom Brady as your quarterback, let alone the play, because you could argue that Stafford would be a better quarterback at this point. But you're just having the name Tom Brady on your roster, that would bring in a ton of fans, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for a team like that, because let's be honest, Tom Brady without Bill Belichick is a complete unknown in the NFL right now, especially since he's, what, 42 at this point? No, he's a little younger, but, you know, for me, and this is a bold one because I don't think this will ever happen, but if the Bears somehow got Matthew Stafford, that's a potential Super Bowl team.
Yeah, no, I hear they're going after Tannehill pretty hard.
Because they have every other piece there besides the quarterback
currently. No, that's, like, these teams that you are a quarterback away, like, you could say the Bears potentially, or a team like San Diego, where really, like, their big missing piece is a quarterback. It will be interesting to see what a lot of teams in that situation will do this offseason.
Maybe even the Rams, after the season Goff had last year, could potentially.
I mean, they do got Blake Bortles.
That's true. Problem is that Goff's got that contract, so it's kind of tough. If you're looking to sign Brady or trade for Stafford, so what we're talking about, that's like $60 million tied up in a quarterback.
I do think there are teams that would be stupid enough to trade for Goff, though.
Yeah, potentially.
See, like, it's just it's such a hard position in the NFL where
Tampa Bay.
There's only so many quarterbacks who like bring, you know, there's only so many top-tier quarterbacks where there is going to be overvalued in the market, where you are paying a lot of these guys a lot of money. And, you know, that's why Stafford is making so much. That's why Brady's going to make so much. I mean, we'll see what happens.
I like your idea of the rookie quarterback. It's obviously what every team would hope to do, because you have to pay him so much after like 5 years. What I would say is this. I know I shared this with you the other day, Gibbs. In my opinion, Trev, there are three marquee draft prospects it seems like everybody wants that would be like your franchise-type player in this.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback from LSU, Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
Tua. And just in terms of a franchise quarterback, of course you don't know how they're going to turn out, but that's just in terms of a talent level.
And Brian Lewerke?
He did have the biggest hands out of all quarterbacks in the NFL Combine. Just saying.
That's got to count for something, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I hope I never watch him play a game of football in my life again.
I mean, let's just hope for his sake he's better than Connor Cook.
That's true. That's not saying much, though. And then the third player was Chase Young.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lions, if you're the third pick, in my opinion, you draft one of those
three. You draft the best player available.
We're not good enough.
Which is probably going to be Tua.
Yeah, and we're not good enough to be like, you know what? We could probably hold on to Stafford. We don't really need a quarterback. We're not going anywhere in the next, like, four years. So might as well get a young quarterback and build from there. Because, you know, if the Lions don't draft Tua, he's going to end up being, like, an MVP. Just that's how it works at Detroit.
Well, I mean, yeah, there is Lions luck. That's true for sure.
Either that, or if a team like comes and offers you multiple first round picks to trade up, I don't think any fan would be disappointed if they yes to that.
I'm all about the trading down position too, where, you know, you would get a first round pick and a potential second round pick or a future
just more
pick.
Assets.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, you're just getting more, and like, I mean, this is kind of a mini rebuild.
My only objection to that would be that we've seen how many first round draft picks we have to see from the Lions.
Yeah,
and just
like zero trust in Bob Quinn.
Exactly, and to me, it just seems like there's three slam dunk, but probably going to be very good players that you don't have to worry about if they're going to be good.
Yeah, it should be a lock where, you know, if one of these players turn out to be a bust, you can't really blame the GM for picking, you know, that player.
And I mean, looking at the Lions' history of first-round picks, the three I can think of recently that were really great players were obvious ones that were going into the draft. Stafford was an obvious, they're going to take him number one. Calvin Johnson was an obvious number two pick.
Thank you, Oakland, for taking Jamarcus Russell.
Exactly. And then Ndamukong Suh, who was a really good defensive tackle for them. But those were like literally obvious. Everyone was saying those are going to be really good players. Every other time the Lions have had to think about it, they've whiffed. Taylor Decker, TJ Hockenson, there's some of the recent ones. There's probably more and more I can't even think of.
Well, some of them aren't even bad players. They're just bad system fits. I mean, we've seen what Eric Ebron's done since he left.
Kyle Van Noy.
Yep. And he was a second-round pick, I want to say.
Yeah, it wasn't first, but still the system of
yeah, you know, we're just not picking maybe the right guys that value our system.
So if you want to do the, I don't really want to trade down, but I understand the logic of it. But if, in my opinion, if you're going to trade down, you better get multiple picks, especially if you have the Dolphins and like the Panthers and the Chargers all wanting to get Tua. I'm making them give up as much as possible if you're going to do that.
No, I mean, like, that's the thing. I think the safest lock is just taking one of the best three prospects in the NFL.
That's what NFL
draft. Like, how many times are you going to have a top three pick in the NFL? Just the way the league works is it's always going to bounce around. Even if you are one of the worst teams, you're not going to be seeing, you know, top three, top five every year consistently.
Well, and I would say, I know we talked about this the other day, the two most important positions, I think, just in the NFL right now are quarterback and pass rusher. We look at the two Super Bowl teams, one had a great quarterback, the other one had a great defensive line in the 49ers. So, like, those, to me, are just the two key positions that get paid the most money, and those are exactly what is on the board at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to end up trading down, they're going to draft some, like, offensive lineman who's going to end up being a bust.
Well, I mean, people have been throwing the option out there about drafting Okuda from OSU.
Yeah, and
the quarterback, and I think, like, if you paired him up with Slay, that would be a nice addition to our secondary, but I think you can just get, like, my personal opinion is you can get more than the quarterback with a top three pick. Like, that's, with a quarterback, you know, that's someone you can build around for the next decade down the
pass
road,
rusher,
like, as we turn things down to staff, like, transition from the Stafford era to something else.
Plus, if you wait, you look at the way our team's currently constructed. I mean, we just lost Snacks Harrison. I mean, I know he's
Snacks.
Not really, like, he's not a top five defensive
after
lineman.
After we gave him a contract.
Figures.
But our front seven defensively is really weak. And I know our secondary.
After all that money we spent on it.
Really had to eat up that contract, huh? For Snacks.
But I know our secondary has some problems, but it's still, like, probably our strongest suit on defense.
Until we trade Slay, because.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But
yeah, probably this offseason, honestly. So we will get Okuda to fill
that. Yeah, that's literally what's going to happen. So there's no point in talking about that.
I have a dark horse trade up candidate for the three spot.
Let's hear it.
I want to see what you'd think about this.
Can I guess?
The New England Patriots.
I knew you were going to say, you're going to let me guess.
And they, you're saying they would go after Tua?
Tua. Yeah. I don't know how they would get the assets that we would want, but
we just give them the pick.
Probably
who is, like, slated to be their quarterback right now? I have zero
Jared
idea.
Stidham?
Couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Brian Hoyer was their backup.
Yeah, they traded him, right?
I'm gonna go Jared Stidham. I think that's it. He was like a rookie last year.
Yeah, that won't be the case.
The next Tom Brady.
Fall.
No way. But yeah, Trevor, I can see that just because we love doing deals with the Patriots and taking all their garbage. So
plus we got guys that probably are still loyal to New England.
Oh yeah.
So by
we're like their farm system, man. We're like Dortmund.
We're not even. We're their retirement home.
Oh, that's true. I know. I see Amendola sign again.
Yeah, I mean, he's been living off those 1 year contracts for a minute now.
Yep.
I mean, we need another
like
receiver.
A slot.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we have that Hall guy who's looked pretty good. He's seen limited action, but. I mean, who knows? I'm excited. Football's back, kind of.
Well, our season's back.
Yeah, there's hope, right?
Yeah,
no.
We always fool ourselves, man.
There's hope, man.
I don't.
Yeah, Trev's given up on the Lions years ago.
I'm just saying, Rodgers isn't looking the same. The Bears are a mess. This is our year.
5-11.
It's wide open.
Oh, man. Well, we'll follow in more draft coverage as the date approaches there. I know there's going to be free agency. You talk a little Tom Brady when it comes to the time, too. See where he's going. But the big story in sports, I feel like, that we haven't covered because we haven't been here was the Houston Astros cheating scandal. Trev, I know you're a huge baseball fan.
I thought it was
fan.
The Houston Asterix.
Oh, there
it should be.
I know.
Oh, so, well, to review, just they were sign stealing using electronics. They had a trash can they were banging on, which was pretty funny to go back and actually listen to. So, Trev, what are your thoughts just about the whole Houston Astros?
It's just, I mean, this is as blatantly obvious of a cheating scandal as I can remember in really any sport. And, I mean, this isn't like steroids was in that where you could theoretically have two or three guys on every team doing it and it would even itself out. This is, you know, it's pretty clearly directly affecting results in the playoffs. And if you're a fan of, you know, the Yankees or the Dodgers specifically, I could understand being very livid at this coming out. There was a video somebody put on Twitter a few days ago, and it was of Clayton Kershaw's start in Game 5 in the 2017 World Series. The Houston Astros did not swing and miss at a single off-speed pitch he threw the entire game.
It's almost like they knew it was coming.
Yeah, one would say.
So, I mean, it's not only that they were cheating, but it's the lack of, you know, oh, we're sorry about this. No, like Bregman and Altuve specifically, it's just like, you're very clearly sorry because you got caught.
Yeah, it was a short apology for Altuve.
Like, how do you feel about, I mean, like, I'm not a huge baseball fan. I'll tune in, especially when the Tigers, you know, have been hot in the past.
So in 5 years.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you feel about the fact that there was there was zero punishment on any of the players?
It is tough. I mean, the logic of it I got because they said, well, because they have to deal with the union. I got all that. But it kind of sucks because it was a player-driven thing. It's almost like the MLB said, hey, we're going to give the players immunity so they'll talk. And then when they were talking, they realized, oh, crap, this was a player-driven thing. The manager literally broke the monitor twice because he knew what was going on. I actually kind of felt bad for that guy. What do you think about the actual manager? I forget his name.
AJ Hinch?
Yeah.
I mean,
not necessarily feel bad, but you know what I mean.
It's difficult, especially because apparently the guy that was really pushing this along, there were two, and they were both also fired, but by different organizations. Alex Cora, who is alleged to have implemented something similar in Boston for the next year, which isn't even being talked about currently.
Is that the core of the issues there?
Yeah, but then also Carlos Beltran, who got hired as the manager of the Mets and was fired before even managing a game, which is the most New York Mets thing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But, I feel bad somewhat, but at the same time, you really got to stamp your authority down. Him and the GM, which I believe was Jeff Luhnow.
Yeah, he definitely was involved.
Yeah, you got to stamp that out. And he'll get hired by somebody when his band's up, but that's not a good look.
I think the manager will definitely get hired.
Gibby, I know you're big into bets here. I want to ask you this question related. Do you know what the over-under prop bet is on Astros getting hit by pitches this year?
I'm glad you asked. It's 83.5.
Take the over there.
I mean, it's kind of a crazy stat because I think there's only two teams in the MLB that were over that last year.
But I think the average per game is like 0.4, and that's only about, like, what, maybe 10 pitches like that hit someone over the average. So I would go over all day. I mean, we've already seen in spring training, I think through last week,
they
were getting beamed like 1.5 times a game, even though a lot of them looked like they weren't intentional, but
yeah,
maybe
they were
that's
like
kind of the point.
Off speed pitches. But I mean, I think out of some of those, you know, they're definitely throwing at them and we'll see what happens down the line. There is one of these, this Twitter page I've been following. It's called 2020, the Astros Shame Tour.
Oh, I love that.
And
page.
All they do is post content of like Astros players getting hit or like signs that people are, bringing to the game or getting taken away. And then
that is the most ironic thing about this.
I know they're stealing signs again.
Yeah.
Or just like people like screaming at Altuve or like whoever about how they cheated. And I mean, like, honestly, it's the first time I'm watching baseball clips, so like,
yeah,
like kind of a little spin, but is this good for the sport of baseball?
That's a good question. I mean, like, on one hand, it's like a bad scandal, but yeah, I mean, no one was talking about baseball like a month and a half ago, really. So in that way, a little bit of publicity there.
I'm going to relate this to another sport I watch, which is NASCAR. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw the Ryan Newman crash.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody would have been talking about NASCAR, even if the finish other than that would have been the same, because it was the second closest finish in the history of the Daytona 500. But nobody talks about that. They're talking about the crash. The ratings the last 2 weeks in NASCAR have been up significantly from that. So I guarantee you baseball, especially maybe not the spring training, but you're going to see a huge jump in opening day ratings and probably national games that the Astros are involved in.
Absolutely.
I was looking at ticket prices for when the Tiger, or looking at the schedule when the Tigers play the Astros, and it's in August, and I'm thinking like, you know, I might go and see what goes down there, see if Verlander is possibly pitching.
I'm just really disappointed that the Dodgers don't play the Astros in the regular season this year,
because
that would have been, you'd have seen some brawls. But
yeah.
you know, fortunately they have to play the Yankees a few times. So
that'll be good.
Yeah, look out for that.
I will say that one of my favorite things that has come out of this scandal is Kate Upton's Instagram account. Are you guys familiar with Kate Upton?
I am.
Yeah,
yes. So, you know, it's kind of hard not to be.
She's married to Justin Verlander.
Is she?
Supermodel, obviously. Yeah, and so she's been, you know, posting cute pics of herself on Instagram, and just all the comments are talking about like how her husband is a cheater, and like he technically was a pitcher, he wasn't involved in the scandal,
but he had to know what was going on.
He knew what was going on.
That he had a clip before he joined the Astros. He was talking about cheating in baseball, and he was just like so. Like against it, basically, like anyone would say.
Yeah.
And that clip has not aged very well.
That's one of the things about, like, I mean, to be fair, Verlander was very outspoken about the game, whether it came to, like, you know, all the rumors and speculation about them changing baseballs before. And I mean, a lot of those Astros players were. And so, you know, they were all like quiet about what was going on. They never came out and straight up apologized for anything. And that was another thing that was like just kind of turned people off about the whole thing.
To be fair to Verlander, at least in the first year that he was there, I mean, he got traded there mid-season, and that was when they still had the post-waiver trades. So he got traded in like the middle of August. That culture was already implemented there and clearly being used. So, I mean, he was one guy going in there. He really wasn't going to have the power to change what was going on, especially with the hitters at that point. That said, though, still stayed silent on it for the couple of years after. Granted, it would directly hurt him because it taints the World Series that he has. But
I think the Mike Fiers, who's the guy that actually like leaked it and put his name on it, that they were cheating. I think that story is very interesting about whether or not you actually like if you think he did the right thing or you think he's like a snitch. I know, like I saw David Ortiz say that, oh, he's a snitch, but the Red Sox did the same thing probably, so we're just waiting for that punishment. So what do you think? Hero or snitch there?
I mean, that's a tough one. Like, mm-hmm. You know, you want to see the game be pure, and you don't want to see people cheating. You want to see everyone playing at the even, you know, an even level. And it's one thing where, you know, if it happens a little bit, it happens. And, you know, I think every team kind of steals signs at least a little bit. I mean, there might be more of a legal way, but you know, there is cheating or trying to get the upper hand going on in baseball. But you know, I'm glad he came out and said something, especially because this was a championship team.
That's true.
Yeah. And I think, well, ironically, the team he signed with directly after was the Tigers. He was on a 1-year deal, came to us in 2018, but that was one of the first things he told a lot of the young guys, like, hey, this stuff goes on, like, be aware of it. We were doing this here. So I think if guys that have left the Astros did it privately to other teams, you know, because baseball is like any other sport. It's a fairly tight-knit community now with social media, so I'm sure stuff like that gets around among the players. So if you'd have done that and let your teams know, like, hey, they're probably cheating. We're going to need really advanced signs against you know, the Astros when we go play them at their place. That's one thing. But I mean, they're obviously still doing it. I think there's evidence of them doing it in 18 and 19.
They're whistling.
Yeah, and it was probably an open secret among baseball, so maybe he felt like they're not going to stop even though everyone knows, so somebody's got to step up and say something here. Because it's not like the other team could match them in cheating that way at their park.
That's true.
When you're using your own specific camera to look at signs, I mean,
and you have a room dedicated to it.
It's not like if the Tigers went to Houston, they're going to bring their own camera guy and set him up there. Alongside. That would, but
well, anyways, Mike really got fans fired up about baseball again.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, our next sport, I don't know why I put this on here, but I put basketball on there, the NBA. I guess we'll start with those Pistons. They officially are rebuilding, which is four years too late.
Could have done this years ago.
Yep. So we officially decided.
Actually got something for these guys we're trading off.
Oh my
now.
God. So we basically gave Drummond away for nothing. We all found out that Brandon Knight was still in the league.
I thought, who was it who jammed down on him? I think it was DeAndre Jordan. Thought that ended his career after that. I haven't really heard from him since.
This will be his last NBA team, I'm guaranteeing that.
Oh yeah.
But
he got traded for Drummond. No one wanted Drummond. Like, that just shows you how, like, no one wants a big man that can't, like, shoot.
No, that's just not where the NBA is at anymore.
And you don't want to pay him $30 million. Like, no. It's just, like...
Yeah, his free agency will be very interesting.
Well, I think he'll probably just pick up the option on his contract.
If he's smart, he will.
And that's why the Pistons traded him, because they didn't want him to.
Yeah, they don't want him locked up.
The Pistons are like, we'd rather just not have you on our team next year.
They traded him for, what, a 2022 second-round pick?
Yeah, that's heavily protected.
It was basically a salary dump.
You can protect second-round picks? Like,
I didn't even know.
I didn't realize you cared enough to protect a second-round
pick. Yeah, no, we've been, what, we agreed to like turns on Jackson's contract and Morris's contract.
Yeah, they're out. They went to the Clippers and the Lakers.
They're actually playing for meaningful teams. Like,
that'll be an exciting series if that comes to it. But
Reggie Jackson back in his home world too as a backup.
Yeah, that's very true. So still got D Rose though.
Well,
that one
I think he's out for the season as of today.
Oh yeah,
he sprained his ankle.
His season's done. So,
could have traded him too.
I heard like the Lakers wanted him, but I don't know what the Lakers really would have offered.
Yeah.
However, apparently we said no, we're not trading him.
I don't understand either. Apparently the Lakers opened up a 15th spot on their roster. J.R. Smith's trying out, man.
You know who also did?
Deion Waiters. I saw that too. It's like,
they're the same.
The two gumpiest guys affiliated with the NBA.
They still got JaVale McGee out there too. And
oh God! Yeah, trading jerseys with Zion.
Zion didn't want his jersey.
Like, who are you, man?
Is Meta World Peace gonna come out of retirement for that spot?
I wouldn't be surprised. I got a name for you. Game of a tryout.
Swaggy P.
Is he still on the Lakers?
Oh man, bring him back.
I know.
Can I go try out for that spot?
Nick Young. Just
open tryout.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. I feel bad for Cousins, though.
Yeah.
He's been through a lot in his career. Without a doubt, one of the best players in the NBA, at least like the time, you know, in the time frame when he was peaking.
And, yeah, like 2 years ago when he was healthy before the Achilles.
And just like how hard he's worked to come back from that and did him dirty. But they said they might bring him back for the playoffs, but still someone you'd kind of root for. And,
oh, yeah. I'm always thinking about DeMarcus Cousins there. Feeling bad for him.
He's like Draymond Green, just a lovable guy that everyone has positive views of.
That's very true. They were both on the Warriors.
Yep.
And Durant.
Yep.
My God, talk about the villains that were on that team, man. No one was happy.
No.
Just like Klay Thompson's kind of an odd guy that's just doing his own thing. Curry's usually pretty happy.
This is a total.
Then you had the other guys.
This is a total tangent, but I think this would be a good idea for next episode. Should we try and put together an all flat earth NBA team? Because you got Kyrie and Draymond.
Kyrie's
to start.
Running the ball.
Yeah.
I would put Durant on there too, because he's friends with Kyrie. He's like, Kyrie's like.
We'll have to do some research on that
one. Has he made an official statement on the.
Yo, Rutgers is beating Maryland, by the way. So the Big Ten is wide open.
Wow. Thanks for the update there.
Yeah. Watching the Michigan State game live too. They're back on top.
You love to see it.
But I have a quick game for you guys involving the Detroit Pistons.
What's that?
In case you weren't feeling bad enough about how the past couple seasons have been going, I conducted a list of Pistons players that we either could have had through a draft or that we did draft but gave up on very quickly, and then they turned out to be good players.
This is like the worst game ever created.
Oh, I think it's great. So the first player we had, so we'll give you
could
little,
probably have like an all-star team just based on guys that we gave up.
Well, this player was an all-star. He's on the best team in the NBA right now. And we released him after his rookie year because he couldn't get minutes over Kyle Singler. Do you have any guesses for who that would be?
Dinwiddie?
Chris Middleton.
Oh, Middleton, yeah.
Second best player on a championship-looking team right now, the Milwaukee Bucks. He was a Piston for 1 year and could not start or get any minutes over.
Yeah, well, I mean, classic Pistons for you.
Seems like we made the smart move there.
Yeah, kill him with Singler.
Of course, because we constantly need a white guy that can somewhat shoot, but not really.
Oh, yeah. Stretch the floor. Fundamentals.
Kennard.
Yeah, Kennard, he's still there. We'll get to
Is
him
he?
In a second.
He's not playing much.
Our next player, you mentioned this one, but he's currently on the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, there we go.
He could have been an all-star this year.
Darko.
We had him for, I think, a year, maybe 2 years, and decided to cut him because we didn't want to sign him. That is Spencer Dinwiddie, who is over 20 points a game scorer right now for the Brooklyn Nets.
Ah, that one actually hurts.
We just cut him. The last one, it's not a great player, but he's on a championship-level team this year. He's a shooting guard. He's a spot-up shooter. He's a 3-and-D guy. He's having the best season of his career in terms of shooting. He's famous for wearing that ankle bracelet in the game.
Gilbert Arenas.
What?
Do you have any guesses there?
Who you got, Pete? I'm just
ignoring Trev over here with his guesses.
I mean, he would be wearing an ankle bracelet during
this. That would be Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Oh, KCP?
ACP. Yeah, I mean, let him go for nothing.
I'm okay with that one. Like,
that's true. He's the only other person I could think of that was like a prominent player.
You know, like, those are some big names that we, you know, we had on our actual roster and just gave up on. Yes. I think the list of guys that we, like, missed in the draft is 10 times worse.
I'm glad you mentioned it, Gibbs. I'm going to go. I have a couple drafts here.
Really glad he mentioned it, or are you just...
Yeah. Oh, for the game's sake, I'm very glad. So I'm going to mention the players that we drafted, or did not draft, that went after the player we drafted, and then you have to guess who is our actual pick.
Okay.
So
this is even more depressing.
In this draft in 2017, the players we could have had were Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, John Collins, and Kyle Kuzma.
Oh.
Who do you think we selected?
Henry Ellison.
Luke Kennard. So you were close there. But we could have had any of those players. Two of them were
NBA All-Stars. That was a Luke Kennard draft, yeah.
I mean, Luke Kennard puts the ladies in the seats, so.
Does he? Because
dude already has two bum knees.
The seats never look full, man. They're just like a quarter full.
And they'd be completely empty without that, Luke Kennard.
This conversation is kind of fitting because they actually like started tearing down the palace today. Like it's half gone.
It's a sad day, man. I saw it.
There's still probably more like, you know, seats taken at the palace as they're tearing it down than at Little Caesars for a Red Wings or Pistons game.
All right, got just a few more here quickly. In 2016, we could have had Malik Beasley. You might not know who he is exactly, but he's a really good player in the Denver Nuggets. Could have had Caris LeVert, Malcolm Brogdon, who won the Rookie of the Year.
Those are like, yeah, all solid players.
Or Pascal Siakam, who was an NBA All-Star and a champion last year. Do you know who we drafted in that one?
What year is that?
2016. Give you a hint, you were close before.
LiAngelo Ball.
Henry Ellison. What?
Yes, it was Henry Ellison. There we go. That was the pick there. Not sure
what is he up to these days.
I'm sure he'll end up back on the Pistons. Trev, you're not really playing this game very well.
Odds LiAngelo Ball like is future the cause Pistons of the coronavirus.
Patient zero. LaMelo.
Hey man, we got a chance for LaMelo this year.
We do.
2015, we could have had Devin Booker.
Oh, no.
Justice Winslow, Terry Rozier, Montrezl Harrell. So they're like key rotation players, I would say. Still stars in the NBA.
Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm. Well, Devin Booker's really good. He was an all-star. Who did we draft that year?
2015?
Yes.
Man, you're testing me here.
I do not know where this guy currently is.
Oh, I was going to say Brendan Knight, but...
It was Stanley Johnson.
Stanley Johnson, okay.
Old Stanley Steamer himself.
Don't know where he is. Do you know Trev?
He's probably making that carpet
old
cleaner.
Stanley Steamer. Oh, man.
I got two more quick ones here. In 2013, we could have had CJ McCollum or Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Those guys aren't any good, anyways.
Who did we draft?
Who did we get?
KCP.
KCP, man.
Good draft pick there. Let him go for free.
I was going to guess the woman with the monobrow from the movie Dodgeball. But,
Still had a better athletic career than KCP.
Probably. I mean, they almost won that tournament.
And then this game's going great. The last one, this one hurts the most. Uh-oh. In 2011, could have had Bojan Bogdanović, who's on Utah now, pretty good player. Jimmy Butler.
Buckets.
Kemba Walker. Klay Thompson. Or Kawhi Leonard. And who did we draft that year? Give you a hint, he's made his return recently.
Oh, there you go. That's Brandon Knight.
Brandon Knight. Heck of a pick there, Trev.
The Knights of Ren were named after Brandon Knight from Star Wars. I know you're a big pop culture guy. Did you know that one, Pete?
He comes up with it so quickly, man.
Off the top.
The Brandon Knights of Ren.
He's preparing. When I'm reading this off, he knows who the player's going to be, and he's just thinking of, what can I say for this guy?
That's how you fix the Star Wars movies, by the way. You just superimpose Brandon Knight's face onto Kylo Ren for every single scene. Don't change anything else.
You got to make that suggestion there, Trev.
Yeah, Kathleen Kennedy, if you're listening, give me a call.
So that's all we had for the Pistons game right there. How'd it make you feel?
Just not good, kind of sick. I'm thinking about, like, yo, if we just hit on, like, one or two of those, how good things would be right now?
Well, let's see. If I wrote down five drafts, so just going off of this, could have had, say, Kawhi, could have had Giannis, Devin Booker, Pascal Siakam, and Donovan Mitchell or Bam Adebayo, whichever one you'd want as a starting lineup.
Just, like, one or two of those names?
Could have had Giannis and Kawhi, right now. Man. Giannis and Kawhi. And if you don't want to get Kawhi, how about Klay Thompson to go with Giannis? Just
why not?
I mean, in there. Even if we have those guys until they hit free agency, that's still an upgrade. Because, I mean, let's be honest, what are the odds either one of them would have re-signed with us?
You're right. But having both of them at the same time, I mean, yeah, could have helped a little bit.
We could have built a team like Oklahoma City.
Could have had like a 7-year run.
Yep.
But yeah, that's the missed picks there.
That was quite depressing.
Got a Michigan State update for us?
State's up 3.
Up by 3, Trev.
Go green.
7 minutes to go.
Well, that's all the NBA coverage you had for you guys this week. We were going to talk about college basketball, but
we're going to talk about the whole time. We can save that for next week. Yeah, a little preview of March Madness.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to have big March Madness episodes.
Yeah, I mean, you're not missing anything. The Big Ten will just keep beating up on each other through next week. It's not like anything's going
to
change.
Big Ten tournament will be hyped, though.
Well, we'll be sure to do a whole episode, possibly just dedicated to this March Madness tournament.
I can't wait. Got some picks.
Oh, we got a little bracket going here.
Get
a little bracket
it,
challenge.
Oakland University all the way.
They were on Jeopardy the other day.
They were.
They were the question on there.
Oh, yeah?
It's like, this university is not in California. Where is it?
I mean, they've
that
been
was in, the question.
The funny thing about OU is, like, they've been in the tournament before. They had a nice stretch there for
isn't
a
Kendrick
years.
Nunn, who's on the Heat right now? He's was from OU, right?
Yeah.
Undrafted.
Yeah. Undrafted free agent.
And he's having a great rookie season.
They had that Kendrick or Keith Benson.
Yeah, was that the really tall point center. Guard that was
Travis
just
Bader?
Oh my, what was that guy's name?
Dude, they had a guy who literally went his whole college career without taking a 2-pointer.
Man, what was his name? The shorter guy?
Oh, he was on Cleveland too for a little
was.
Bit. I'm told.
Kay Felder.
Trev.
Yep. That was I'm impressed
when,
with that.
When like LeBron was like, we need a point guard, and I was like, yo, you
Kay Felder.
You have Kay Felder, man. He was like 5'7" playing in the NBA.
Yeah. It didn't last too long.
It's like Foster Lawyer trying to play college basketball.
They had Isaiah Thomas as a starter, and then Kay Felder as the backup. Like, no wonder why LeBron left.
Smallest front court in the NBA.
To be fair, though, LeBron's taste in point guards isn't really that great. Like, he basically made the Heat draft Shabazz Napier as he was leaving.
I remember that.
Like, yeah, draft this guy if you want me to stay. Psych. I'm out of here.
Well, he's playing point guard now, pretty much, so he's literally
he's
just
running the show, yeah.
I feel like he's always just done that, though, so.
It's not like the Rockets. They're just running 5-point guards out there and
oh
shooting threes
God.
All game. That's fun to watch.
And P.J. Tucker.
P.J. Tucker, yeah.
Dude's running, like a running brick wall,
five, running the five out or four out with P.J. Tucker down low.
No one's taller than, like, 6'6". I think Covington's 6'6", Harden's 6'6", something like that.
It's literally like playing basketball in the suburbs.
They need to get Hubie Brown out there on the floor with them. He can really fix their height problem.
Oh my god.
I think.
Bill Walton.
Oh my god, Bill Walton. Are you pro Bill Walton? Like when
I mean,
he comes on.
As long as he doesn't have to take a drug test, that's a good move.
I think I'm pro Bill Walton because he's usually calling the Pac-12.
Yeah.
I don't care about the Pac-12.
Well,
so it's like I'm just
watching.
Well,
I mean, those Pac-12 games are on the West Coast, and I mean you just like, if you're watching Pac-12 basketball, you're probably staying up till, like, 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, he keeps you awake. I'll give him that.
Oh, you're not even watching the game. You're just there listening to what
it's
he's talking about.
Oh, I know. But, like, if I was a fan of any Pac-12 team, I feel like I would hate Bill Walton.
Well, yeah, because it's like him doing a Michigan State game, like a serious Michigan State game, and just...
Yeah, like, come on, man.
Talking about the universe.
Talking about, like, the Grateful Dead or something like that.
Yeah.
The worst would be if you buy like a first row ticket to a Pac-12 game and you end up sitting behind him. So one, you can't see over him, and two, you have to listen to him all game.
Oh no.
Like, that's the biggest waste of money I can imagine in professional sports.
He's a national treasure though. I'll give
him
that.
I got one for you, Trev. You want to see any Detroit team right now?
Yeah.
Pistons, Lions.
Red Wings. Although actually the Red Wings game I went to, they won.
Hey,
it's like one of their three or four wins in the last like calendar year.
Are you saying if you have to pick one, which one would you pick to see?
I mean, it really depends on who they're playing.
Yeah, honestly, you just pick.
I would just take the L, like them.
I think maybe I would go to a Tigers game.
I mean,
it's in the summer. There's more stuff to
do,
I guess.
You're outside.
You can still have a good time just, like, walking around and stuff, going on that little Ferris wheel, Comerica Park.
It's always fun.
Well, even when the Tigers have been good, that's always still the appeal of going to the ballpark. It doesn't really change.
We went to one last summer.
Yeah.
So we started the wave. Actually, we did not start the wave. Someone else did.
It's easier to get the wave going and keep it going when the stadium's, like, an eighth full. So, you know, it takes less people to get it committed.
I went to Florida over winter break, Christmas break or whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I wanted to see, like, they had that, like, that late night show or whatever, like, in the stands. And somebody got the wave going. And it was, like, 8:30 at night, and they had all the lights. It was, like, at least a couple thousand people.
It's a lost art, man.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, the show starts at 8:30, but it really doesn't start till, like, 9. So you're all just sitting there for a half hour, and you're just waiting.
Got to kill the time, yeah.
And then the hero stood up, and he's like, all right, guys, get this wave going. And when he goes back and forth all the way around, nothing better in sports.
Someone's got to do it.
It's just, it was needed, yeah. Well, I think that's all we got for you guys. You got anything else, Trev?
Still don't like the wave.
Oh, but, man.
Hate to end it on a downer.
I didn't know it was such a controversial topic.
God.
It's just like, do something more creative.
What would you do besides the wave?
What?
Like a clap?
Get some chants going.
Don't get me started on the clap.
Oh, the tomahawk. Yeah, for the Native American themed teams, that's just no.
I was talking about like the Icelandic clap.
Oh,
but you really went for the whole political thing there.
No, but I mean, just as
like
in general.
Yeah, like the tomahawk.
General,
I know what you're talking about.
Just chants like that are based on someone's culture. It's like,
well, we got to work on a new one then.
I mean, we got the Tigers, so we could just copy. Well, actually, no, don't copy the whole city Tigers chant, because that's terrible.
Well, it's got to be a simple motion that you can just do across the stadium.
Well, theirs is just, you're getting mauled by the Tigers.
Oh,
as
so
like,
it's a little maul? Yeah.
Yeah, if you're like beating somebody.
I like that.
So
that's a simple one.
It is. Could steal it. It's between sports. They probably won't even know that it's
been stolen. Yeah, it's just a motion, yeah. So we'll see if we get that going there.
Of course.
But I think that's all we got for you guys this week.
Awesome. Good to be back.
Yeah, no, it is. March. It's a loaded month, man. We got a lot going on here the next couple
weeks. March Madness coming up here, so. But that's it for this week. Thanks.